Amen. We have a Father who cares for us more than we can ever know. Thank you, Miss Carol, for that song. Well, it's interesting to now be talking to the camera. So you guys at home, I know I look forward to when we can be open again. I know Brother Earl said we're praying towards the beginning of October, so keep that in prayer. I look forward to that very much on Wednesday nights, being able to gather again. Man, wonderful mission conference, great faith promise, and I'm excited about the things that are happening at Worth. Of course, I'm back and forth between Camp Liberty and Worth multiple times a week, so I wanted to give an update on Camp Liberty, things that are happening. You can see the images there as they are going to scroll through as I talk about them here. These are three of the six cabin buildings that Worth helped us purchase and have built. We had a group of builders come out, help us build these in a week span. And we are in the process of finishing them out. We've had floors donated. You can see the other three over there. My mom and dad are in the process of moving down as well. So we're there full time. My mom and dad will be there full time. Of course, mom just retired from the church after being secretary here for over 30 years. And you can see a little black cage there. That's where their dog's going to be for a week or two until we can get him something a little more permanent. That little trailer right there is being fixed up. It's going to be that's going to be an escape room. We're going to have a mobile escape room that we can take around to some different events and youth activities. And, of course, we'll have it there at the camp. There's another one on the other side that's going to be a soda bar and concession stand. Some exciting things happening. There's the flooring installed by the McGuire Flooring Company, me. Me and Dad put that flooring in. It was donated. Praise the Lord for gracious people. You can see we've got it insulated. There's a window unit keeping it nice and cool. We had 16 Tempur-Pedic Serta mattresses donated. That fills one whole cabin. We're praying that more will be donated. And of course, you can always jump on campliberty.org if you'd like to donate to a specific project. We've got two cabins completely filled with beds. One of them completely filled with the actual bunks. The other one just has the beds. We still have to get the bunks for them. And then we'll have two more buildings to fill. Each one of those holds 14 beds, seven bunks. So if you'd be praying about that, that's what we need to finish those cabins out. The two that were in the middle, I'll scroll back here. The two in the middle, there's a bathroom between each one of the cabins. We'll be finishing those out here over the next couple of months. I went the wrong direction on the button. You can see a glimpse of Dad exhausted there from unloading some things into the new double wide. The new one is the one that's like a tannish beige color from the 90s and forest green everywhere. The walls, the trim, everything has it. The new one will be completely painted. The inside has been gutted and repurposed, so we'll have a larger kitchen than the one that was there to make use of for the camp. We'll have a lot of commercial grade, industrial sized things. We'll have a large meeting room for the chapel. There's three extra bedrooms. One will be used as a nurse station. The others will be used for housing guests, preachers, or if we have guests coming in throughout the week, off season, we'd be glad to have people come. And then they'll also be used for other things throughout the year. This is where also Mom and Dad will be living. Dad calls it the presidential suite. It's just 900 square feet on one side of this building they'll be living in. It's an 85-foot double wide. It is huge. And so you can't really get a sense of it unless you come. So I'd encourage you, come. Come out. Bring a group. Bring a couple people. Help us out. Most of the things we've accomplished out at camp have been with people coming and helping us. It's just, it's not the same when there's not others alongside you ministering and helping get this ministry off the ground. It's not about a building. It's not about a bed. It's not about having a kitchen put together. It's about what those things represent. And we want campers to come teenagers and those lives be reached with the gospel. If they've not been saved, we want to see them saved. If they are saved, we want them to be surrendered to serve the Lord in whatever capacity He calls them, and then to come back and support and help in their local church and be sent out. We're a support ministry. We are here for independent Baptist churches. We're here for the reaching of youth and through the camp ministry. That's how we want to do it. This is our field. Right now, it's getting a little long. We've had a lot of rain this year. And we thought, why is it not drying out? Middle of the summer, 110 degrees. It was not drying out. And we had a water main leak right in the middle of our field. It was never going to dry. We were hunting some beavers. I sound super strange right now, but we were hunting some beavers that had dammed up the culvert going across the road, and we were out hunting them. Got some permission to hunt on some other people's property where they had built their $250,000 home. These beavers were living in luxury, and we heard some bubbling. And sure enough, there was we found this water line that had been busted. They came out, fixed it. And so now we're finally starting to get it dried out. We'll be able to finish mowing that. A few more pictures here of the double wide that has been brought out. That will need to get painted. Some more flooring. And there is our tractor that's been out of service. That's what we need to get fixed. It's going to be a little under $1,000 to finish up. There's some parts that need to come out. Get repaired. It's an older tractor. It's got a giant shredder on the back of it. So we get that fixed. We can mow, and then we're praying about selling some of our larger equipment, get some smaller things that don't cost so much to get fixed. And the most exciting thing is electricity. We already have electric run to the first double wide, but all the other buildings are yet to have electric run to them. So it has been purchased. We've had the rack built, and the electric company is supposed to come out here in the next week or two and finish running it from the main line to this rack, and then we'll be able to take it from there. So we'll ask that you pray for us. Our goal is to have camp next summer. We were supposed to have camp this summer. The Lord graciously brought some things in our way and prepared us for next year, and so we give thanks in all things, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So we will trust the Lord. We are thankful for Worth Baptist Church and how you've supported us throughout the years that I've been here at Camp Liberty, and I know even before when Dad was getting it started. So continue to pray for Camp Liberty, and thank you so much for letting me update you a little bit on what's been going on. Tonight, we are going to be in the book of Galatians. Galatians, and we're going to look at chapter 1, verse number 6. Galatians 1, verse 6, and we'll read through verse 12. I'll give you a moment, just a moment, to get to the scripture. Of course, you can always pause me and then restart once you get there if I'm going too fast. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 says this: I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment and ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the week that you've given to us. Lord, the time we were able to take to hear these requests. Lord, I pray that we would be in prayer, show love and compassion towards our fellow church members, towards those missionaries that we heard about, those who are weeping and mourning. Let us mourn with them, Lord. And those who are rejoicing and are seeing victory, Lord, that we rejoice with them. Lord, we ask that you be with our pastor as he's away on vacation, getting rest and refreshing. Lord, give them safety as they return. And Lord, I ask that you would watch over the preaching of your word. Lord, give me the words to say, that I would not say things that would be contrary to what you'd have me to say. And Lord, that you'd direct the rest of this service, and you'd get the glory and honor for everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been scrolling Facebook and see a picture grayed out and says something like, could be false, might be untrue, checked by independent fact checkers? Have you seen that? Those of you that are here, sound booth, yes, fact checkers, independent fact checkers. Don't we love independent fact checkers? I don't know who they are. They don't have names until you click on them and scroll down to the very bottom of it. And they say, well, it could be true, may not be. We kind of lean this way, but really, who knows? That's in the end, that's what you get. And at the very bottom, you see some names of some independent fact checkers. Well, if you look around, it gets kind of hard. Sometimes those independent fact checkers have to go back and say, you know what, we made a mistake. Our independent fact checking got independent fact checked, and we've been found to make a mistake. And so we're wrong. And so thank you to the independent fact checkers who fact the independent fact checkers. And it's just a circle that never ends. I had a teenager in our last youth group in Ohio that asked me, Brother Corey, how do we know if the news is telling the truth? You know, I watched CNN, and they were saying one thing, and you go to Fox, it's the same story, but a completely different take on it. How do we know who's telling the truth? I looked at him and said, that's a great question. And I really said, well, really, you would know if they were not telling the truth by how they keep, if they started agreeing with each other. They're telling the truth. If they disagree, just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to study that out for myself. And we kind of left it at there. It's kind of hard when you look around the world today to know who's telling the truth. If the news source is worthy of your share. Hey, should I share this news that I heard? I don't share anything on Facebook anymore unless I've researched it thoroughly and know that it's true. So a lot of times I just stay off Facebook because you can't know if what you're about to share is true. And if you share it and it wasn't true, you'll have about 50 people telling you why it wasn't true. Those independent fact checkers. So, have we considered news sources that we're going to? Let me say it another way. Let me kind of turn to the spiritual here. What about the church? You know, we're a news source. The good news source. The gospel. We have a reliable source. We have some news that's worth telling. Some tremendous news. We don't have to worry about coming back tomorrow and saying, you know what, we made a mistake in our reporting. Independent fact checkers have found that Jesus actually didn't raise from the dead. Did you know? We don't have to do that. It's been established. We have a good source. We have the truth. We're not coming back and saying, no, this didn't actually happen. We have the Bible that teaches us and guides us, and it is our foundation. It's where we go. At our core, we are presenting good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. He was seen by many witnesses, Paul one of them, and he ascended into heaven. He is coming again. That's good news. It's good news. Galatians, the book of Galatians, is one of the earliest written documents in Christianity. It's a letter written by Paul to some churches in Galatia. Paul faced an issue with these Galatian churches, though. There was these independent fact checkers that said, you know what? Paul is actually making this up. He got with some crazy group. They've made up these stories. What you really need to do is just go back to keeping the law. You need to keep the law. Don't listen to what Paul says. Listen to what we say. And they fact-checked Paul and said, don't listen to him. This new gospel that he is presenting is not the truth. But Paul wanted to show, no, this is not made up. I didn't make this up. I have a reliable source. This is divine. It's divine news. Can I tell you, we have divine news, something from God to the world, and it's our job to share it. Through knowing the gospel, we can defend the gospel against false teachers, against people who would seek to undermine the Word of God. So, what's our source? Well, look at verse 1 of Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, and notice this parenthetical phrase, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul immediately addresses who sent him. I'm not sent from anywhere else. I'm not sent from Jerusalem. I'm not sent by some group. I am sent by Jesus Christ himself. Look at verse 11 and 12. We read it when we started. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, because by the revelation, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He then went into his background. Just the next verse, verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. He said, look, I had no reason monetarily to switch over. If I just did this for my own sake or the sake of some group, there'd be some money involved. And I was already doing really, really good. I was rising through the ranks. I was one of the top Pharisees. Why would I have left that? Verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And he goes through his history, where he went, where he was. He gave an account and said, look, my background doesn't make any sense for me to switch unless there was a change in my heart. Unless God did something in me to stop me the direction I was going and change my life on the spiritual level, my mind, my brain, the things I was doing, the things I wanted, I was persecuting the church. Why would I now come in and try to become it? It makes no sense. He spoke to them, reasoned with them. I said, look, my source is God. It's not been made up. I didn't get this from some strange group. I got it from our resurrected Lord. They thought maybe this is some new way. We need to go back to the sacrifices. We need to go back to circumcision. We need to go back to keeping the law. That's safe. That's what I know. Those are the things that I remember. And, you know, we have the Old Testament. Those are the things we need to be doing. This new thing, I don't know. Paul, I know you came and you taught us and you baptized and you gave us all these instructions and doctrine. But, you know, I'm just not sure. These guys came now and they're saying you're wrong. So I don't know who to believe. Did you know that just because somebody says something's not true doesn't mean that it is not true? Reality is not diminished by the way you feel, by the way someone makes you feel about it. Have you ever been questioned and you not be able to give an answer right then and there and you start to be concerned? Well, I don't know. You know what the best thing to do is say you don't know, but then study it out. Don't continue on in not knowing. Our foolish imaginations like to go to things that just make sense in our mind. Well, yeah, that doesn't make sense. And we start to reason with things that, hey, that's a good argument. And there are some good arguments. But none of them will withstand the view through the gospel, the view through Scripture. If it's not true, it's not true. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. Paul is telling them, don't be swayed back and forth. Stand firm on the truth. In Galatians 3, verse 1 and verse 2, he calls them out. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before the whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the law by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? How did you get the Holy Spirit? Remember when I was there? Remember you received the power of the Holy Spirit? How did that come? By keeping the law? Or by faith in the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ? I like the next verse, verse 3 of chapter 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? I like the when I try to explain this to teenagers, like, okay, you're jumping in a car. If you began in a car on a trip, would you then end in a boat? If you got in a car to travel down I-20 to get to your house, when you got to your house, would you get out of a boat? And of course, the answer is no, right? It's silly. And that's what he's telling them. It's silly. If you had a good work started in you, it doesn't change halfway. The mode or the method of transportation doesn't change halfway. It's the gospel. It is faith in Christ. Our source is God. And what's the news he's given us? Well, it's the truth. It's something that you can know. Verse number 6 of chapter 1. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Well, in order to know what's another gospel, we need to know what the gospel is. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, he goes through and talks to them about what they had learned when he was there. Verse 24 of chapter 3 in Galatians. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He was taking them through Genesis. He was showing them the error in their thought process that, look, faith is the end result. Faith is the goal. The law was pointing you to something you could never attain. And Christ did that for you. Why are you going back to something that you can never accomplish, you can never achieve, and will constantly be pointing you back to the thing that you already have? They were to disregard the false gospel. Well, what's the false gospel? Anything that doesn't fit the mold of the gospel. Anything that adds to Jesus. Anything that takes away. Well, Jesus plus this. Or you can add Jesus to my beliefs, but to say Jesus only, well, that's too harsh. You need to soften the gospel. No, there's no softening. You can give it in love, but you can't take away from what the gospel is. Disregard anything that contradicts the defined and known truth. You need to know that there's counterfeits. There's fakes. There's phonies. It could be someone knocking on your door with a new gospel, this new revelation from the Lord, whether it be a Jehovah's Witness, it could be a well-meaning, any other religion, it could be something we haven't even heard of. If it's not the gospel, you know, it's wrong. It's false. It doesn't matter who the messenger is. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's false. So, if we know the source is God, and we know what we know is the truth, because we can see it in God's Word, we can read it, we know it, how do we sort out who's lying? Well, there's a test. We now become the independent fact checkers of the gospel, or the fake gospels, which is not another gospel. We need to know what the truth looks like. There must be a test. There's a real famous illustration that a lot of people use on the FBI and money. I'm sure you've heard it 100 times. You'll hear it one more time. The FBI uses a test to determine if money is real or counterfeit. And can I tell you that it's probably an important thing for you to know. Because once you get the money, you're now responsible for it. If you try to go use that counterfeit money, it's your loss. They're going to be like, no, this isn't real. You can't use it here. So it might be an important thing for you to investigate what real money looks like and what fake money looks like. Did you know how they do it? They don't focus on the fake money. They spend hours handling real money. And they hold it to the light. They tilt it. They look at all the certain markers that indicate this indeed is a real tender, a real bill. So that way, when they're handed something that's not the real thing, guess what stands out? The things that aren't real. There might be some things that are right, but there's going to be some things that are wrong because it's counterfeit. It's fake. Can I say the same thing's true for us? When you're given something from God's Word, maybe it's something you read online. Oh, that's a good, you know, devotional thought. Can I tell you? Take time to study. Read God's Word. Put it through the test. We're responsible for the gospel. The gospel that we send out. The good news that we give. The good news we hear. Is it the real thing? Do you know it? Do you know it intimately? So well that you can pick out when someone is telling a false gospel, a lie. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells us to prove all things and to hold fast that which is good. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." You know what the most commonly faked and counterfeit bill is? Not the $100 bill. The $20 bill is the most counterfeit bill in the United States of America. You know why? Because it's the one most commonly used. It's what's sitting in your wallet right now. It's what you're using when you get back, you know, money from the ATM. You're not getting back hundreds, you're getting back 20s, and they might throw some 10s in there, or 5s. No, they don't do 10s. You got to get only in increments of 20. And that's why they are faking what's most commonly around. They're not going after the big, giant bills. They're going after those little things. The ones that seem like commonplace. Do you know what Satan likes to attack? The things in your life that just seem commonplace. A little share here on social media, a like here on Facebook. Oh yeah, I'll share that to people. That sounds real good. Did you check it? Did you put it through the test of Scripture? Is that scriptural? What you're about to share, is it giving out the good news or is it giving out another gospel, which is not another? Do you know God's Word so well that when you hear something that's not true, that's not biblical, that's not the gospel, that you immediately, no, that's not right. And you push it away. And just because a lie or a falsehood isn't overtly in your face fake, doesn't make it any less fake. You know who the scammers try to scam? The people who just aren't paying attention. I type in, I'm going to go to ancestry.org. It's because I want to look up my ancestry. And you go to Ancestry and you add a couple letters. And next thing you know, your computer gets a virus. You're shut down. Call this number and we'll unlock it for you. So you call the number. Well, you send us $50 and then pay $250 for our services and we'll unlock your computer. Of course, we all know that's a lie. You just went to a wrong site. They got some crazy thing going where you can't like close the box, and it's a scam. We know it. They're not trying to get the people who know it's a scam. They're going after the people who don't. Satan's going after you. He wants you to not know what Scripture says. He wants you to say, well, I've heard that in Sunday school. Yeah, I heard preacher preach on that. Sunday we were challenged to spend an hour in God's Word. Really spend time studying His Word. You know why that's important? Because it's not up to pastor to make sure you personally know Scripture. He wants to teach it and He wants you to know it, but you have to dive in. You have to know it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? For the purpose of rightly dividing the word of truth. So you know when there's a fake. You know when there's a phony. You won't be easily fooled by scam artists and tricks of Satan. Put them through the inspection process. Paul thought that these Galatian Christians were competent enough to recognize and get rid of the errors. He wasn't writing to the scammers. He wasn't writing to the people that were speaking lies and speaking the other gospel. He was writing to the churches so that they would defend against them. Remember that the truth is that Christ finished it all on the cross. Paul's urging this congregation, these churches, to be sure that what's being taught is the gospel. And if it's not, to intervene, to stop it, to make it stop. Hey, can I encourage you? Know that our source is God. And that this is the truth. But there's a test of everything that comes our way that we need to put it through Scripture. Is what we are hearing biblical? This has practical applications throughout your entire life. The things you say in the hallway at work, the hallway at church, in your Sunday school class. Maybe someday you move away and you're not at Worth Baptist Church and you're at a church somewhere. You're trying to discern if this is a good church. And you start hearing some things like, well, they're saying it. He wouldn't say it if it's not true. That's like saying, well, it's on the internet. It must be true. You've seen the commercial. We know it's a joke. That's a joke. Because just because somebody writes a book about it or says something doesn't make it true. It has to meet the test of Scripture. Do you know it? Well, I've heard lots of sermons on it, but have you read it? It's a personal relationship. Do you know God's Word? Can you defend what you believe and why you believe it? By writing the believers, Paul is assuming and expecting that each one of them will be accountable for what's being taught in their church. Did you know that's your responsibility? What's being taught here tonight even is what's being taught biblical. Are you following along? Are you looking up Scripture? Are you comparing Scripture to Scripture? Not taking things out of context, but diving in and knowing this is the truth. Galatians 4:18. And speaking about these false teachers, verse 16, he asks, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Verse 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. Look, they're coming after you with a lot of intensity. Why? Because they want you to help them out. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. He says, look, it's not bad to be sought after to go do something, but you better be sure that it's biblical. And you're not always going to have Paul around. Hey, you're not always going to have your pastor around to help you discern what is truth and what is a lie. Paul says, I'm not always going to be around to help you understand what's a truth and what's a lie. I wish I could be there. I wish I could shake you. He's just like, I don't understand. Paul's reaching through the pages to us tonight, shaking us. I don't understand. Sometimes some of us, we get complacent. I've read the Bible. I go to church. I know what it says. But do you have an intimately close relationship with the Lord that His Holy Spirit will prick your heart when you hear something you know is not right? Will you be able to pull Scripture and say, this is why I know it's not right? Have you considered your own responsibility to guard against false teaching? Well, that's pastor's job. No, that is your job. To guard your heart, to guard your family, and to guard the church that you're attending and a part of and a family of. If it's not the gospel, it's false. It's from God. It's not from man. It's simple to understand. It's simple to know. And it must be checked. Can you defend the gospel that you're clinging to for salvation? If you can't, check the facts. Make sure you know what you know. And then defend it. Be a soldier for the Lord. And win souls to Christ. Because we have great news from God to share with a needy world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that we have the ability to know you, and that you love us, that you gave your son for us, Lord, that even now as we're praying in the name of Jesus Christ, that he's ever interceding on our behalf. And Lord, we look forward to the day that he's coming again. I pray that you'd help us to rightly divide your word, that you would give us discernment in our friendships and those we allow to speak into our life, to have persuasion over us, Lord, that we would check what we're reading, what we're listening to, what we're watching. Lord, sometimes, Lord, we just turn off the TV and get into your word so that we can know it better and live a life more pleasing to you. Lord, give us the boldness to share our faith, which we are clinging to for our own salvation, but Lord, that a world desperately needs to hear for themselves. We thank you for it. We commit the rest of this week to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.